China and other countries,
yes,
from the Middle East crossing the border. For a person like yourself, right, born in America, advocate of the Second Amendment, ex-law enforcement, are you against immigration or are you against illegal immigration?
Hitler took away all the guns. What happened? Genocide. Ugh. She went in, he went in, followed her. So I went in and I had my firearm with me, but it wasn't displayed because I keep it concealed.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think that there's more minorities now that are arming themselves up?
Hey, we motivating the nation, gonna set the foundation, spreading positive knowledge, the crucial conversation. All rise for the wheel ride, drink and show, let's go.
Welcome back to Crucial Conversation with Will Rodriguez. Today I have a very special guest, Nick Westfall. Bro, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for inviting me.
Woo, it's gonna be exciting. For people that don't know who you are, give us a backstory of how you grew up. Where did you grow up?
Well, I grew up in Chatham, New York.
Okay.
It's about 2.5 hours north of New York City,
mm-hmm.
Out in the country. So a very small town. Grew up there all my life. Went to high school there, transitioned over into my adulthood, started going into law enforcement.
Okay, cool.
That was the career I just wanted all my life.
And why is that? Like, did you...
I believe what my mother always told me. She's like, I was a born protector. And I wanted to help my community.
Mm-hmm.
And, I have a tattoo on my shoulder. It's a Superman tattoo. And it kind of justifies for truth, justice, and the American way, red, white, and blue,
mm-hmm.
the whole shebang. So
that's cool.
I was just very much like, I always protected people around me,
mm-hmm.
and it just felt that was my calling.
Mm. As you guys could see, we have some guns back here. All right.
We're in Texas now.
yeah. Don't be scared. Okay. But we're locked and loaded.
Yep.
cool. Well, that's awesome. So you transitioned to becoming a law enforcement officer. What was that like when you started your career?
I was very young, to be honest with
how
you.
How young?
I started academy at 20.
Oof, very young.
Yep. To be a law enforcement officer, you have to be 21 by graduation. Mm-hmm. So I graduated at 21 years old. And still looking at back today, man, I was a child. I could see some of these officers out here now, very young.
Mm.
And I was in that boat. So it was a lot of learning to do very young in your, and still a lot of people today who are out there very young. It's mm-hmm. a very hard career at first.
Mm-hmm.
You need to know, all the laws, the mm-hmm. Constitution,
mm.
All the training they do in the academy doesn't equivalent to the real training you get on the streets.
Right.
Because it took me a couple years to even be comfortable as a And, you make a lot of mistakes. But sometimes those mistakes can be either injury or even worse, or, law enforcement officers, we are actually still carried underneath the color of law. If we break the law, we still go to jail.
Yeah.
So, when an law enforcement officer puts his, has to do his job physically,
mm-hmm.
if it's not done within the colors of their, their duties,
mm-hmm.
it's assault.
Hmm.
So.
Oh, that's interesting. And we're going to talk a little more about that. But I want to touch on the first thing that you talked about is people going into law enforcement too young. They need more experience. So you recommend people to get more experience, get a job, go to college, and then go into law enforcement? Because, again, a 20-year-old getting into law enforcement might be a little too young, right?
I think it's too young for... I don't want to really get into generations.
Yeah.
Generation X, all those. But I think some of the kids today
mm-hmm.
do need a little bit more life experience.
Hmm.
Not saying that somebody who's 20 years old today could be a great law enforcement officer, be it male or female.
Mm-hmm.
It's really comes down to who they are.
Hmm.
Did they grow up well in high school? Were they raised well? While they hit 21, because I know there's a lot of 20-year-olds out there, 21-year-olds, mm-hmm. more adult than some of their counterparts.
Yeah.
And, there a lot of them are out there being childish.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are out there have 2 or 3 jobs already.
Mm.
So are they too young? Yes and no.
Mm.
It depends on how they're raised, how responsible are they at the age of 21. Mm-hmm. You know, be a lot of factors. So it's individual, I guess.
Got it. That makes sense.
In the academy, a lot of those individuals get weeded out. So the academy is hard. It's not easy. And it really shows if they graduate, that is a kind of a growing up stage. Kind of like going to the military. The military will force you to grow up too.
That's very true. So we've seen politicians campaign on defunding the police. We have different police departments that are suffering because they're not getting as many recruits, not able to hire. Some police departments are seeing low numbers because police officers are not supported. They're leaving to other states, like let's say Florida, Texas, because they feel that's a better place for them in their career. So I've seen too, I think LAPD, they're lowering their standards. I'm not sure exactly in what, but they're lowering the standards just to get, be able to get more people. So how can police departments still hold people to a certain standard, right? And be able to recruit and meet their quota.
Right. Well, I think the defunding was really stupid. Defunding the police is really dumb because it really, when they first started, it was political probably, it created such chaos. And like you just said, they're not getting support from their own departments. I have had, friends of mine leave their career because they weren't being supported by their own departments.
Wow.
Because a lot of my friends were from New York, which was a state that's not supporting police officers. So now you get less police, overworked. They can't actually go out and calls are being backed up. So, you know, society's going downhill. But also there's accountability. And if New York, they passed the, I can't remember all those laws that now they just get written tickets instead of going to jail.
I think California too,
So
certain felonies became misdemeanors, now became tickets, right?
Instead of going to jail, now it's just a pat on the wrist. So the cities have are destroying themselves. And law enforcement officers, our hands are tied because, well, what am I going to do? Just write a ticket for, you know, assault in the first degree? You know, it's ridiculous. There's no accountability, no consequences. So everybody's just doing what they want.
And I guess that makes sense because especially during 2020 in California, I lived in California in 2020, the government wanted to release people that were inside the prison because of COVID, right?
And for minor offenses.
But I did see that there was a little more violence in the streets. A little more chaos. But yet there were certain people that would have their time in court, but they were released, even though they're, you know, two, three-time felons.
Their consequences weren't strict.
You
know, so if you know you're going to commit a crime and only get written a ticket and pay a fine for robbing a liquor store or whatever you want, I mean, it's going to be a free-for-all.
And obviously for you yourself, you're obviously well protected, right?
Yeah.
But there's people that are probably not comfortable with guns.
Right?
And maybe they're not, maybe they were against guns. Maybe they are. But maybe they're not comfortable or they're not open to maybe buying a gun to protect themselves. What can they do if they're in one of those cities, one of those states that where there's law and order that's not happening and they're just continual threats like around their where they live?
My personal thought on that is if you're in those areas and the police, there's not enough police to be around to protect you, I'm all about everybody owning a gun. Get it, but with owning a gun, there's responsibility. Take the courses, take some training from somebody who's experienced. I just got my wife a pistol a couple months ago, and we've been going to the range because she works at a high-end car dealership. And she goes in there early in the mornings. Nobody else is there. Well, she needs a firearm because they've had cars stolen off the lot before. I told her, I'm like, well, don't go after them. You'll lock yourself in the office. But if you are the threat's coming towards you, then she has the means to protect herself because law enforcement's not going to get there in time. And even out on the streets, there's nobody to protect yourself but yourself.
You know, you talking about that reminds me of a story that just happened not too long ago in New York, where there's a guy that pretty much got a woman that was walking with a belt, I think choked her, pulled her, choked her, and then raped her, right? And that's crazy that that's happening in the streets, happening. Right?
And also the child trafficking.
Child trafficking.
We're off of 75 here, which is a major child trafficking route. Mm. And a couple years ago, I witnessed one in CBS off of 75, and I stopped it.
Whoa.
So, yeah.
That's crazy. So
it's here.
Tell us more about that here. And
well, I was just going to get my script. Was sitting outside my truck, and these two guys were calling this girl over. She was scared. We were all outside and right in front. She went in. He went in, followed her. I recognized what was going on. You know, she tried to go into the cashier, and then those people really don't, they weren't really telling her out at all. So I went in, and I had my firearm with me, but it wasn't displayed because I keep it concealed. Didn't matter. I went up to her and started talking to her. She started crying. That guy, they left. So they were trying to lure her in for quite a while, though, before she went inside.
How old was she?
She was 15.
Whoa, 15-year-old?
Wow. Yep.
And you prevented that kidnapping from happening.
Yeah.
Man, yeah, I believe you so much, yep, man, for that.
Definitely traffickers. They were definitely after her. And she said so. She's like, no, I don't know them. And I told him, like, you know, you got in that car. You were not going to be in a good situation. She was crying. She like me. Law enforcement came. They talked to her, took a report and everything. And got the license plates from the car. But you know, that's their investigation. At that time, I took off and left.
So. Man, that's crazy. Man, you just saved not only a life, but pain. A lot of pain, right? Because stuff like that happens, and then
and the as a family... father, you know, parent, you're devastated.
Oh, for sure.
If your child was taken.
Mm-hmm.
And we're so close to the border, you never know where your child would then. You know, be probably the worst nightmare.
So you carry a firearm to protect yourself, obviously.
I do protect,
protect your family.
Yes.
But man, you're protecting other people.
I still have the once a cop, always a cop. Yeah. I left law enforcement back in 2016, personal reasons. Once a cop, always a cop. And I do feel obligated to protect somebody else who can't protect themselves. Like I said, it's just in my nature. It's who I am. I don't, you know, expect anybody else. Like I told my wife, like, if something's going on, protect yourself. She doesn't have the training or anything like I do. And I don't expect any everybody else who carries that, but they can protect themselves with their, if they carry a firearm.
All right. That's amazing. For me, growing up in San Diego, obviously with a lot of Mexicans in my community, we don't talk about the Second Amendment. I didn't really understand it. I thought it was just drug dealers, gangsters, and police officers. The only two people that could have firearms or had firearms, right?
Yeah.
There was no, like, Second Amendment. Slash, like, citizen, right? I don't know. I couldn't grasp my mind around that.
Yeah.
Until, like, 20-something where, you know, I got married and then started looking into the laws. Some of my friends said, hey, I just bought a gun. What do you mean, just bought a gun in a gun shop? What does that look like? So that's not illegal? Like, right. So is that legal? To, like, so anyways, changed my world. But I did see that, especially in 2020 with all the riots happening, I did see a lot of minorities, black, the brown, Asian, and then we've seen some shootings happen in synagogues, we've seen Jewish people, right? Arming themselves up and owning guns. And that's kind of interesting to me because when people think about firearms, they just think white person, right? Well, white person that's, you know, this hardcore Republican, right? Nazi, you know, racist person that has firearms. They don't really think about, okay, maybe it's the mom, right, that's trying to protect their child. Maybe it's that Jewish family. Maybe it's this Jewish parent that's trying to protect, you know, their synagogue, their friends, family, or family. Or a Latino like myself trying to protect, you know, same thing as you, trying to protect family and friends, right? So it's kind of interesting. Why do you think that there's more minorities now that are arming themselves up?
Where?
Like, why do you think there's more minorities that are arming themselves up right now,
Well,
in 2024?
2024, so I think a lot of it's politics because the Democratic Party is trying to eliminate the Second Amendment. And trying to blame all these mass shootings on one specific rifle, which in all those mass shootings, there was only actually one incident with an AR-15. All those mass shootings were all different firearms, pistols, rifles. But they're attacking the AR-15. They don't even understand what the AR-15 is. They think it's a machine gun, an assault weapon. They think it's AR means assault rifle. It doesn't. It means Armalad rifle. It's the company. But anyway, so keep going forward with that. I think a lot of people arm themselves because our rights are trying to be taken away. And everybody's like, So we, the people, decide, not some one person, you know, a couple people in the administration.
That's so good. So it seems like there's one party that's trying to take away the guns. And but also there's a concern for their safety, right? We talk about New York, California. There's a lot of chaos happening, right? A lot of theft, a lot of crime.
Yes.
So it seems like people are trying to protect themselves, but also there's a Second Amendment component to it, right? Where there's, it seems like politicians are trying to take away the guns, but why is that? Like, why are they trying to take away the guns? Is it because of mass shootings? Or what's really happening?
I think a lot of colleagues I talk to on other social media platforms is history repeats itself. When Hitler took away all the guns, what happened? Genocide.
Ugh.
He killed everybody.
Yeah.
As much as he could. Yeah. And it's happened with other dictators in the past, which, you know, I have my beliefs about the administration right now, but I believe they're trying to take away our guns, take away our rights, take away our ability to protect ourselves, because the Second Amendment doesn't specifically say we have the right to bear arms. We have the right to bear arms against the, you know, can't really quote it exactly right, but it's not the government's decision. It's our decision. It's our rights. It's our constitution.
Got it.
The people.
So that's your concern. So it seems like you have a list of things, right? You want to protect yourself, your family, people around you, and your evidence of that. But also you're concerned about the government taking over and stripping everybody from their guns.
If they take away the Second Amendment, right? If they take away the Second Amendment, what else are they going to go after? I mean, they're already attacking the First Amendment also. They're trying to silence people with in the news media, all the, you know, politicians who are talking, not even politicians, CNN, you know, they're trying to go after everybody's First Amendment. So they take away those. What are we going to have left? Are we really going to be a free country anymore?
Got it. So if there's, let's say we have some liberals, right? Some people that are, that don't agree with you, don't agree with all the guns displaying here or the message, but they live in New York, they live in California, wherever the case, right? Why should they care? What if they think that's a good thing to take away the Second Amendment, take away the guns, because they rather have somebody that's a professional, like a cop or military, to only have guns? Like, that's their mindset.
Right.
Why, what would you tell them?
Well, they have choices. I'll say, do you like your choices you have in this country now? Obviously they do, because they have the choice of free speech. They have the choice of going to what schools they want to do, where they want. They have freedom. You start taking away, guess what? They're going to come after everybody. Not just so it's your choice not to carry a gun. Fine. I choose gun carry. Fine. You know, somebody else also, you know, has a knife. What? That some people carry, some people don't. It's, everybody's got a choice in this country, and that's what makes it so great. We have freedom. But if they keep, the liberals and the, you know, they keep attacking the Second Amendment, they don't realize it's just going to go across the board to them too. Eventually, they're not going to have a choice. A lot of these so-called leftists want the country to be a socialist.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no country in the world that socialism works. I mean, those countries, you're getting told what to do from whatever age and what school, whatever, you know, what to do later on, where you spend your money, where, how much money you get.
Yeah.
You know, they want all, you know, what, a base salary all around. Everybody. Does that really work?
Yeah. That's good. That's good. So you talked about being in law enforcement, and we'll touch on that a little bit more. What was that like, you know, being a cop? And was it all shooting all the time? Was it
no
all, you know, chasing people, or what was that like?
It's a career. I love mm-hmm. it. It's something different every day. Mm-hmm. There's been many days that nothing actually happened. Oh. And then there was days that there was too many calls. there was days, yes, police chase, you know, running and stuff like that, but it happens very few and far between. Now, when you get into a metroplex area, yes, it happens a little more. But some of the worst crimes have been out in rural areas. Mm. You know, I can remember something from upstate New York. It wasn't an active crime, but it was something I had to investigate. Mm-hmm. Very sad. I don't know if you want to go through.
Go deep.
So his father and son were out drinking, mm-hmm. and this is country. So basically there was only one bar there, mm-hmm. and they had to drive very far. Well, father and son got home, got an argument. Son went to his room, shut the door. Father thought he went to bed. Mm. Father shot 9 rounds through that door. Little did he know, his son was trying to hold the door because he thought his father was going to attack him.
Ugh.
Put 9 rounds right through his son. Mm. Yeah.
Horrible.
So I had to do the initial interview. Mm. And, you know, and we're in the forensics room where I had to take all of his clothes. He was down mm-hmm. to his skivvies.
Yeah.
I'm talking to him like we're talking, trying to get the story. He never admitted it. Plus, he was very intoxicated, but still never admitted it. Mm. Took like 3 more interviews later, he finally admitted it.
Oh, man.
But,
that's hard. And how were you processing that conversation? Because you knew exactly what happened,
mm-hmm.
right? Just from the very beginning. Right?
I was actually called in for it. I was already home because I was a sergeant on duty, mm-hmm. and I was home. So I got called in. I didn't go to the scene. I went straight to the office where he was being, you know, in the interview room.
Got it.
And I went in there while to investigate. So I wasn't the investigator. Uh-huh. I was just a sergeant on duty. Mm-hmm. 2 investigators were talking. I had to sit with because, you know, he has to be watched.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know his mindset. He could be suicidal.
Yeah.
So I was just talking to him and just like we are.
Uh-huh.
I knew what happened, but I was still trying to like see if he was saying anything. Mm.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. That is crazy.
And he didn't even show a single bit of remorse or emotions.
Seriously?
No.
Wow. Was that only like the first time you talked to him, or was that like
after the first time? Yeah.
The first time.
Investigators took over. They interviewed him for mm-hmm. Back and forth. There was 2 investigators that went mm-hmm. back and forth. And eventually he admitted what he did.
So obviously you're a father, right?
Mm-hmm.
Were you a father at that time or no?
No.
No, okay, no. Cool.
It was still early in my career. It was before my first son. Okay.
So I'm assuming that it probably would have been different if you were a father, right?
I probably would have had some emotion, yeah. But, you know, going in and, you know, being an investigator or, you know, police start talking to somebody like that, you still got to do your job and kind of put your emotions aside.
Oh.
Yeah.
How is that like? How do you process that? How can you put your emotion on the side and just kind of focus on what you have to do?
Well, like you just said, you know, it was before my children. Mm-hmm. So I was very much just career.
Yeah.
You know, do my job. You know, the only thing I had at home was a girlfriend at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, it didn't really bother me mm-hmm. much. You know, my first fatal accident investigation mm-hmm. still haunts me to this day.
Oh.
I was only a couple months into the job.
Oh man.
And
I'm not sure you want to talk about that, but
no, I can.
You can? Okay.
Yeah, it was my very first. It was a triple car accident.
Mm.
And my grandmother was involved. You know, she was okay, whiplash and everything.
Mm-hmm.
However, the way everything happened, a van went sideways.
Mm-hmm.
Little didn't know, this van was carrying special needs kids. Mm-hmm. At the time there was only one in there. He was mm-hmm. an autistic kid, mm-hmm. and he went sideways and he got ejected halfway out of the van and his head hit the hood and then went back in.
Mm.
While I was first on scene, started working on him.
Mm.
There was nothing there. But I had to make the notification to the family with my chief of police. So it wasn't easy.
Yeah. Man. That's a lot, man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming the longer you're in law enforcement, the more things you see, right?
Yes, and you know, that wasn't my first notification. So sometimes, you know, the chief of police, he puts it on the younger officers, and mm-hmm. over time, you know, like I said, I've seen a lot of things. I haven't seen, you know, something like LAPD or mm-hmm. New York City, where the stuff is almost every day, but it builds up on you.
I bet.
You know, it does, and it still, you know, it builds up on you in your mind over mm-hmm. years and years, and that's why, you know, like we said earlier, like about police officers not getting support, they also mm-hmm. don't get really good support on the emotional side, because mm-hmm. I've had my brother's been to war. He's still in the Army now,
mm-hmm.
and he went to war for a year. And I always tell people, I'm like, you know, law enforcement is, we go to war every day.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't just do a year and come home.
Yeah.
And nothing against the vets. And, you know, my brother's a vet, and you know, he's got problems too.
Yeah.
You know, going overseas during that, you know, the war was very hard on everybody, and it's messed a lot of people up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hopefully everybody, you know, this administration, or, you know, maybe next administration helps the vets out more
mm-hmm.
instead of sending money to Ukraine.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's my opinion about that, too. It's ridiculous. But police officers also need help.
Mm.
And sometimes, you know, either one, don't know where to find it, mm-hmm. or it's not available.
Oh, man. And it seems like the government, I'm going to say the government, not like an administration,
mm-hmm.
is more focused on sending money overseas or to other countries,
mm-hmm.
opposed to taking care of our own.
Our own.
Right?
Our own. And this is actually a fact thing. I just heard this the other day. We sent $66 billion overseas in the past year.
Mm.
In the past year, we only spent $3 billion on vets. For homeless, healthcare, whatever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, why can't we take care of our own? You know, we're sending so much money to everybody else, right. But we're not taking care of our own.
Yeah, yeah.
And the vets gave us our freedom here.
Yeah.
You know, they fought, they gave their everything.
Mm. Mm. And, you know, you talked about that. There's obviously our military, they go overseas, they fight, they come back, they need support. Police officers, it's a daily thing. I kind of like, again, maybe I'm wrong on this, but UFC fighters, right? They fight mm-hmm. for, what is it, 3 minutes, like 5 rounds, right?
Yeah, yeah. So like,
and then boxers, they fight for 3 minutes, 10 rounds, right? So it seems like they take a more pounding, right? They take, over time.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's a good analogy or not, but that's kind of what came to my head as you were talking about that, good. Right?
I like that, yeah.
It's still both... both need the support and help, right? But mm-hmm. law enforcement could be overlooked to what you're saying, right?
Yeah, probably, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's interesting, man. So you ended your career in law enforcement. You got into bodybuilding, obviously, right? If you guys are listening to this, homeboy's jacked. So tell us a little bit more about that.
That actually started in high school.
Okay.
You know, football team and mm-hmm. lifting weights.
Okay.
Back then there wasn't really the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So I had magazines and what, you know, football coaches would show you, and
mm-hmm.
you know, starting looking back, I learned a lot of wrong things, mm-hmm. which a lot of young people do.
Mm-hmm.
I can see it even in the gym now. You know, I go to LA Fitness and I'm watching people and I just gotta shake my head.
What are they doing?
Oh, God, you know, all these gym fail things, or yeah. these funny memes. I'm like, I'm seeing some like the weirdest exercises that don't even do anything for the body. And there's a whole bunch of videos on YouTube, TikTok,
yeah,
everything.
I think I've seen some. Yeah,
they're hilarious, and I didn't think I would actually see some of them, but yeah, they're here.
Yeah.
But going back, yeah, I learned a lot of things wrong. Mm-hmm. I think some of my joints are paying the price.
Oof.
You know, I used to be able to squat 500 for 10 reps.
Whew.
And, you know, I never wrapped my knees. And at that young age, my knees really got hurt.
Mm.
Then I started, you know, I'm totally against like flat bench. I mean, mm-hmm. everybody wants to do it, but you know,
well, you're against flat bench.
Yeah. It actually it hurts the shoulders. It does not put the shoulders in the right position. I mean, there are ways to bench press right correctly, like powerlifters, but I see people getting on the flat bench press and their shoulders are so far off. I'm like, I'm looking at a torn rotator cuff eventually.
That makes sense.
Because I do have two torn rotator cuffs, not from work, not from bodybuilding, but from work. But
so what do you recommend? Like incline, decline? What's the alternative?
Decline is worthless. Decline bench, just do dips. Everything for the lower chest is really dips and are dips and cable flies. But dumbbells are key, you know, for a lot of things. You know, just you're talking about just the chest there, but there, you know, you're still got your whole body. You know,
of course.
I would just, you know, learn from somebody who's got a lot of experience. There's a lot of TikTokers out there showing stuff. Some of them are good, some of them are I called out. I'm like, that doesn't work that way. You know, so I could name a couple, but you know, I don't want to put their names out there.
Right.
Some may be like, oh, he's my favorite. And the other person's like, oh, they suck.
So we have Mike Mentor. I'm not sure you heard of him. I'm sure you heard of him. And then we have Arnold. Arnold used to work out like six times in a week.
Yeah, six times, 3 hours a day.
Yeah, and then we have Mike Mentor used to work out like, what, like 3 hours in a week or something?
Yeah.
4 hours, something like that.
That's it. Very low time.
Mm-hmm.
And very low reps.
Right. Mm-hmm. So what do you do? What do you recommend?
I've been studying Mike Mentor, and I've been doing his workout for the past couple months.
No kidding.
I've gained more muscle mass in doing Mike Mentor's than any, because I used to do hypertrophy, which is high reps, low weight, and keeping the heart rate going. Now, I did get lean, but I following Mike Mentor's method, and I've gained a lot more weight and muscle weight. And mass and size in the past couple of months than I ever have in all the years I've been lifting.
So walk us through how the workout consists of throughout the week.
Well, there's a, you know, I split them up, chest one day, back one day, legs, and then arms. I do shoulders almost a little bit. I do shoulder workouts on almost every day, just very, because I need to keep my shoulder, because my rotator cuff, cuffs. So I just keep them really just fluid. I do a lot of rotator cuff work almost every day too, keep it going. But those are my splits, and I'm literally in and out within 35-40 minutes every day.
Wow.
Because one thing with bodybuilding is, if you want to build mass, bodybuilding is not aerobic. It's a stressor you need to put on the muscle to gain as much weight and size as possible. If you want to be aerobic, then well, do more cardiovascular and do the hypertrophy, you know, higher reps. But if you want to be a bodybuilder, you want to be large, learn how the body works. Now, the muscle works in three different ways. And Mike Mentor mentions this in a lot of his videos. It's concentric when the muscle's tightening up, eccentric when it's letting go, and static when it's flexed all the way. Well, the muscle, the weakest one is concentric. So then the next one, you know, the strongest is eccentric, letting it go. Because now if I put 500 pounds on like a bar and you grab it, you stood up and started lowering it, you can lower 500, but if it's on the floor, you try to lift it up, you wouldn't be able to lift it up. So let's say that's your complete like max, like, weight you can do. You can lower it to the ground nice and slow, but lifting it back up, that's the, you know, tight, you know, eccentric,
right?
But so I always tell people, like, picture your biceps, okay? You have the weight up at the top,
okay?
So if somebody gives me a weight, I can hold it there for a little while, but then it's gonna let go,
right?
Well, I could actually have more weight let go, say 75 pounds let go. I could get down to the bottom nice and slow. But I can hold, like, let's say 65 only right here. For but then if I put that 75 or 65 down here, I won't be able to lift it up. So you can, your body can release more weight than it can hold, but it can hold more weight than it can contract.
Wow.
And Mike Mentor's also, his thing is, make sure you work the muscle. I see people in there flaring.
Yeah, I've seen that too.
They're going way too fast. And they see me going there. I'm actually
contracting the looking, muscle. You're squeezing, I'm assuming.
And just give a 1-2 count and then let it go.
Oof.
And, you know, I've gained more muscle. We're in May. I found out my shoulder wasn't torn by an MRI back in January.
Oh, great. Okay.
Now, late January, I started doing Mike Metzger's.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was 225. I am 260 right now.
Whew. Muscle.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Because if I say that, it's going to be all fat.
Yeah. Well, I got some fat. You know, I'm not competing right now, so yeah, I'm not dieting, but... And, you know, my wife is a great cook, too. So some of the weight's there, too. But yeah, mostly muscle. Yeah.
Mostly muscle.
Mostly muscle.
That's great.
From Mike Metzger's theory.
Oh, great. Great. And we're going to put a stop right quick.
Yeah.
Be sure to like, subscribe, share, and all that. If you're getting some, you know, good info from this podcast. So we're going to continue on what we're talking about, bodybuilding. And so I did check out... I used to watch a lot of his content, Rich Piana.
Yep.
All right. And he was always against protein shakes and a bunch of stuff.
Yes.
He's like, hey, just eat chicken, eat more food.
Real food, yes.
Right. So where are you at in that?
I'm the same. Like I said, in my early age, mm-hmm, I used to buy everything. Mm-hmm. I'd go to GNC or whatever supplement shop I could find. I'd buy like the hydroxy cuts back, mm-hmm, in the day. And back when I was young. Mm-hmm. They started the, like, Mark McGuire, the stuff that he was taking.
Yeah.
Well, that was still on the shelves. It was became illegal later on. Mm. I took that stuff, too.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm young. I want to get big. over the years, and especially, you know, being here in Texas, and I learned some stuff from some coaches around here, mm-hmm, and just studying nutrition, I don't have any protein shakes anymore. I don't have any supplements. I actually make my own pre-workout.
Oh, okay.
You know, I go to finding what kind of pre-workout. I'll try some from my gym. Mm-hmm. They'll give me a sample. I'm like, okay, I like that. I look in the back, look at the stuff that's on it, mm-hmm, and I go to Bulk Supplements. I buy that specific supplement, mm-hmm, you know, and I mix my own.
Huh.
Cost effective, so much. I mean, you could buy a pre-workout for $30 only to get 30 servings. Plus, a lot of pre-workouts is mostly sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And fillings. I get all my stuff and I spend a fraction of that, and a lot, mm-hmm, of my stuff I get from Bulk Supplements, mm-hmm, lasts me a year.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's a game changer.
Yeah.
So there's amino acids, BCAAs, we got protein, we got pre-workout. I'm not sure, did you ever take Jack 3D?
I did.
Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay, I took it for a while. It was like crack.
Yeah, they got rid of it too.
Yeah. Maybe because of that, right? It had probably meth in there or something. Very effective. But,
very effective, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely give you the wiggles.
Mm-hmm.
So cool. So you're in this journey now, bodybuilding. For somebody that's trying to get into bodybuilding or working out, where should they start? Who should they follow? And what kind of workouts should they do when they're starting?
It also depends on what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Bodybuilding is there's bodybuilding, there's weightlifting, there's, mm-hmm, CrossFit, there's everything has a goal.
Mm-hmm.
What's the person's goal? Do they just want to lose, ooh, weight? Do they want to just be endurance fit? Mm-hmm. Do they want to be big? Do they want to just lift big?
Ah.
Now, because I go in the gym and everybody's like, well, man. And there's this other guy that goes in there and he's bench pressing 400 or 500 pounds. I'm like, I'm not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what he wants to do.
Mm.
And he doesn't look like he works out. I'm, mm, like, right. So that's his goal.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody who's wants to go into working out and figuring out what they want to do, seek advice. Also, back in my younger age, I only had books, mm-hmm, or what somebody else was around. And now the gyms are packed with people with knowledge.
Yeah.
The internet is packed with knowledge,
mm-hmm,
good stuff. A lot of it is, you know, try to find out your own body too.
Mm.
Find out the way your body works. And
that's key right there.
Yeah.
And that's key right there.
Mm-hmm. Study things on your own, learn your body, and then learn and ask people on TikTok, you know, or YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Ask them questions.
Questions.
Follow the videos. But
wow, that's good.
Follow people who've been doing it a long time, made the mistakes.
Yeah.
And have corrected them themselves because
that's good.
Even like starting a business.
Mm-hmm.
If you try to start a business on your own, you're gonna make a whole bunch of mistakes.
Of course.
But if you have a mentor who's already started the business, made all those mistakes,
yeah,
they can correct you before you make yours. You
have advantages.
So yeah, same thing with bodybuilding. Sure. You're structuring your body to the way you want to be or what you want to do, weightlifting, powerlifting, mm-hmm. CrossFit, whatever. Seek the professionals.
Absolutely. And that's crucial that you said that, because for me, I mean, in my 20s, teens and 20s, all about looking good, you know, having the muscle, having the size. After 30, now that I have a family, you know, I'm working, I'm hustling. It's, for me, it's about being healthy.
Yes.
And having energy throughout the day.
Yes.
Like, I don't really care. I mean, I do care, but I don't. That's like secondary of looking good. But I want to have energy throughout the day. Right. I want to be sharp. I'm going to meetings, meeting with clients. I'm talking to management. Like there's a lot of things going on, right, throughout my day. And I just want to be on top of my game, right? I want to be my A game throughout the day. And then getting home with the kids. I don't want to just get home and just be like, all right, I'm going to take a nap, right?
Right, yeah.
I want to be playing with the kids. I want to be intentional. Yeah. I want to be being able to lead my family, being productive. We're setting up a system right now where we actually took down our TV,
mm-hmm.
and we're not going to watch any TV. And my daughter's right here. She's probably still upset. But we're gonna be more productive throughout the day. So when I get home, either we're going to go for a walk, mm-hmm. we're going to read, we're going to set up those disciplines. And then on the weekend, when we do want to watch a movie as a family, guess what? I'm going to get the TV from my office, and then I'm going to hang it back up,
okay,
for a little bit, and then put it back.
I like that. You know what I mean?
So things like that I want to do to be able to be more productive, not only for myself, but as a family.
Right.
Right? Because if you're not producing, if you're not active, if you're not really building yourself up, really pushing towards a goal, then what are you really doing? Watching TV, different shows, watching other people play, right? Like sports, watch other people shine, but not yourself.
Yeah.
I want to change that up for my family.
Yeah.
But as far as in like bodybuilding, I like that because everyone's going to have different goals, whether you're wanting to be more flexible, maybe you do have a few injuries, you're not trying to be a bodybuilder, you're just trying to have more flexibility,
right?
Maybe you're recovering, maybe you are competing, and that's going to be a little different than being a bodybuilder, right?
Right. Yeah.
So a bodybuilding is not for everybody.
No.
Right.
No. But like I said, you know, when I go to the gym, yes, I do have a great pump. I'm 260. My wife always says you stand out from other people.
Yeah, for sure.
She's like,
hands down.
You can't hide yourself anywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, I get a lot of people complimenting me, and I say thank you very much. She's like, and some people seek advice. And yeah. I say, well, what's your goal? You know.
Yeah.
Talk to them for a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times it's younger people.
Mm-hmm.
I get some people, you know, my age or older than me. They're like, man, you look great. I was like, I wish I could do that. I said, well, you're here for one, so that's your first step. That's good. But also, are you happy? Like, with what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's it. I'm happy with what I do.
Oh, great.
I'd like to. I wanted to always be muscular and big.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody wants that. Like right. you said, going to the gym has different goals. And sometimes people just go to the gym to get out and be active.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, okay, like I wish I could be like you. Do you, though? Or do you want to be like you? Are you happy the way you are? Are you happy with what you're doing? Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, man. Do you, boo-boo. Huh?
Exactly. I don't go in the gym and say, hey, you need to get bigger. You need to do this.
Mm-hmm,
no,
mm-hmm.
no. I always tell people, you like what you're doing? You like this exercise? Yeah. Cool.
Great.
Good.
Awesome.
You go you leave here happy? Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. That's so interesting you said that, because in a world where we have social media at our fingertips, people are always comparing themselves. Like, oh, I want to be like this guy.
Yeah.
Man, I like this guy's body. As guys, right? Women, too, right? They see, you know, on social media, they compare themselves to other women. So that's not healthy at all.
No, I think social media is getting a little out of control with the women's figure, men, you know, this. And like, I told people, they're like, well, I want to look like this person. I was like, are you happy with the way you are? I mean, yeah, okay, everybody's got a goal. Yes, having goals is great. Mm-hmm. Now, bodybuilding, weightlifting, everything, is still a competitive sport. So you're competing against still all these other people, but you're competing, you're not a team. You are the team.
Yeah.
It's an individual accomplishment, but it's still competitive.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, there's still goal and there's still, you know, you got two alpha males standing next to each other, doing curls, looking at each other like, oh, I'm gonna do more of him. The women are kind of the same, you know, they're competing with each other too,
in a different way.
But it's a friendly. I like it when it's a friendly
competition. For sure.
You get some of those gym nuts in there that are a little too much.
Yeah.
Now that mostly are men, and I don't think they need to be the way they are, act the way they are, or like they. I've been to the gyms where they make fun of people. I said, why are you making fun of them?
For ridiculous.
One, they got off the couch. They're in here already. So they have already made the first step. Don't make fun of anybody.
The typical guy that will punch someone in the face, huh?
Yeah. Well, sometimes they feel like sometimes they want to do that. But and I saw there's a gym I go to. There's a 90-year-old man exercising. And, you know, I'm sure there's some little kids out there saying stuff. I'm like, hey. You can't disrespect that old man. He's been on this earth a lot longer than you, and he's still doing this.
Oh, for sure. Well, let's have a conversation about something that's very sensitive right now. Immigration, illegal immigration, invasion, right? Man, there's a lot going on, and we have seen an influx of people crossing the border, right? And it looks like it's not just Mexicans crossing the border, but countries from South America. And we've seen a lot of people from the Middle East, from China, and other countries from the Middle East crossing the border. For a person like yourself, right, born in America, advocate of the Second Amendment, ex-law enforcement, are you against immigration or are you against illegal immigration?
Illegal immigration.
Okay.
Definitely. I mean, if you come through the ports of authority and you do the process and you get here legally, fine. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, it's been done that way for decades, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years.
Yeah.
So illegals is an issue. A lot of the illegals that are coming straight from the border, which we are a border state here in Texas, are not the most kindest people. Mm-hmm. And they're come to find out a lot of them have multiple felonies. A lot of them have been here, gone back and come back again, and committed horrendous crimes. And they're bringing their buddies with them. Like you just said, they're not just from Mexico. They're from Cuba, Haitian, South America, Middle East. They're from everywhere. And a lot of times we don't know what is it within these groups. You could have, well, I think they said there was like almost 15,000 coming across the border every day. Out of that 15,000, do you think every single one of them is a saint? No, I don't think so at all. And they're saying women and children. Yes, I understand that. People are seeking a better life. I understand that. But there is a way to do it. I understand some, you know, very poor people are doing it to get here, to make a better life. But it's the criminals that are coming across. And how to stop that is just, well, we just got to shut it down. And does it sound inhumane? I don't know. Is it inhumane for all these criminals come across the border and rape little kids, which has happened, or kill people, which is happening? So they're committing very, very violent crimes, and you know the border is just wide open for more. And we don't know what type of the people these are. I mean, some of them could be a bomb expert and. Then next thing you know, we have a couple large bombs going off in the United States. Who knows?
Yeah. So you're saying that you won't just allow anyone to come to your house, meaning there's, let's say, 20 people out there, and they all want to come inside. They want to spend the night.
Nope.
Right?
Not in my house.
None of your house?
Nope.
Why is that?
Because my family's number one.
Okay.
My family's number one.
So you want to, before you invite people in, you want to vet them. You want to get to know them. You want to know who they are and their background, I'm assuming. Right? So for a person that's watching that is for, let's say, illegal immigration, right? Because that's different than going crossing or coming through the right entry, right?
Right.
And somebody doesn't agree with you because they're for... helping those in need, which I understand, right? But you're saying you're more concerned about the safety aspect of it, right?
Yes.
So there's people crossing because they do want a better life.
Right.
They do want to work, right? They want to contribute towards society. America, right? It's the dream, right? It's where people come and they just they come here for a better life.
Yes.
But there's people that are probably coming in with bad intentions.
Very much.
Whether that's to commit crime, mm-hmm. or that's to do something to society that is going to create havoc. But then there's other people that might be crossing over from countries. I'm going to start naming a few. Maybe a Russia, maybe a China, yeah. maybe some country in the Middle East that are against America, yes. right? From your opinion, why would the government allow people like that to come in?
Honestly, I don't know what the government's even thinking these days. I mean, we say allowing them all to come in, I believe, which a lot of my colleagues also believe, they want them to come here to get votes for one certain party. You know, that's obviously election fraud. You can't do that. But that's getting, you know, we're election year, so that's, you know, everybody's going to have all their opinions about that and everything else too. Mm-hmm. But it's just a dangerous situation to allow this mass numbers to come in so much, so fast. Eagle Pass, I mean, I was watching videos because we're here in Texas. Mm-hmm. You know, it was tens of thousands, and they couldn't stop them. Because it was an open border.
Yeah.
You know, Abbott put up the barbed wire now, and, you know, he's being called a lot of different things because he's securing our state. Mm-hmm. But now nobody's coming across in that area. They're coming across in other areas, but not as the mass numbers from Eagle Pass. Mm-hmm. But it's just a very dangerous situation. I think a lot of it has to do with politics, possibly. Mm-hmm. You know, because like you said, it's election year.
Yeah.
You know, in hindsight of that, they just enacted the SAFE Act. It hasn't passed through the Senate yet. And I don't know if you know what that is. Mm-hmm. It was actually Wednesday, I believe, they introduced it. Mm-hmm. It's for voting. Mm-hmm. You have to now provide a document that you are U.S. citizen to vote. Mm-hmm. Before you didn't. So
that's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, I believe Mexico does that too. So why wouldn't the U.S.
Why wouldn't
already have that in place?
Why didn't we do it for so many decades?
Since the beginning, yeah, right? That's kind of weird. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's being pushed through now. Obviously, the Democrats are fighting it. Don't know why. It shouldn't even be a question. Like you just said,
yeah,
other countries do it.
Yeah, I mean, Mexico does it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the U.S. doesn't. The greatest country of all time, my opinion.
Yeah. But, right next door. but yeah, it's, I think a lot of the influx of a lot of the illegals was for votes.
So what is the biggest threat? Is it voter fraud from your opinion? Or is it an invasion from like other countries coming in and trying to overthrow our country?
A little bit of both. You know, that definitely feels like an invasion. Even some news medias have called this an invasion. Mm-hmm. Ted Cruz, our here in Texas,
Senator, mm-hmm.
he straight up said this is election interference and invasion, 100%. And he calls out the administration all the time on their inability to follow the law and protect the country.
Mm.
You know, because allowing the illegal immigrants to come across. You know, the way they are is right. all on the president.
So what you're saying is that senator like Ted Cruz, right, that it's very conservative, right? He's saying invasion. Is he using those words just to get attention? Or is he seeing it like an invasion? That's what he's calling it.
He's saying it like invasion, yeah, because the amounts that are coming through are record highs that have never been. I mean, past our, you know, our lifetime, since we were little, you know, everybody's come across the border. It's right. It's been, you know, I believe the Department of Defense allowed a certain amount every year, but we've been exceeded that number by millions.
Yeah,
already, and it's been all because of what's happening in 2024.
Ah,
you know,
and I did see that there was like different policies put in place. Whether that's like a Trump in office or a Biden, like seems like immigrants respond, or I'm going to say legal immigrant people respond different depending on who's in office.
Yes.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I would say so too.
Why is that?
You know, like I said, I think it's election fraud or election
interference.
Interference in a way, because New York City, all the ones that went up to New York City, they're all getting hotel rooms. They're getting cards with money on it. And it's all from the Democratic Party. They put money towards the, and New York City is a Democratic city. Democratic city. You know, I don't want to say, you know, Republicans are right, Democrats are right. I don't want them to fight each other, you know, but it is, I believe one party has forced that. Back in the 80s, we didn't see the Democrats and the Republicans fight like this. It was very cordial elections. I mean, there was still debates and everything else, but now they are just blatantly outright fighting each other. And we're being, honestly, we're being laughed at by other countries about how unstable we are, how weak we are.
Yeah, of course.
You know, our inflation's through the roof. People were starving, you know. It's just a very, I never thought I'd see in my lifetime this kind of uproar and, you know, this just the country going to being destroyed in a way.
Is that by design? Is somebody planning that? Or is it just kind of like, we're so divided that we're just
so the, not making the ways to destroy a country is to destroy their financials. There's three different ways to destroy a country. I can't remember what the other two were, but man, already doing it. Destroying our financial stability. You're sending money to everybody else, but using not using on our own. So
yeah, financials. You take away the fundamental of what a family is, right? Mom, dad, family unit.
Eventually, the just the overall structure of the country just crumbles.
Yeah, and why is it that we're sending billions? And I'm not going to just talk about Ukraine here, because obviously that one's the one that we're sending a lot of money to, right? This past 12, 24 months. But we're sending hundreds of billions, right, to other countries. To whether that's securing their border, for aid, for different things. Things that might be a good thing, right? But it seems like there's really no like urgency to secure our border. I mean, I know Trump was very controversial when he came to office. He wanted to build the wall, right? And there's a lot of people going against him because of that. He was talking about maybe $3 billion putting into the border to secure our southern border. But there was always like this fight with the left and the right about, you know, things being inhumane or not, that not being the right approach, or you know, just plainly just fighting Trump or, and his administration at the time, because that seemed like it was racist. It was kind of interesting that we as a country haven't prioritized securing our border. I thought, you know, for a country of this magnitude, right, this big influence in the world stage, that we would at least put more resources into our vets, police, safety, healthcare, whatever the case, right?
Healthcare,
More focus internally, opposed to focus on
everybody else.
It's almost like, let's say I was, let's say I made $50,000 a year, but my budget was like $300,000, right? And $50,000 I'm taking, and I'm taking care of some needs in the house, but I'm getting into debt to pay for other countries, right? Other countries or other people that are in need, but my family is not taken care of. They're not, they don't have food. They don't have clothes, right? But yet I'm focused on other countries or other families per se, just to give you an illustration. That's pretty much what it seems like the U.S. is doing, right?
It does. It really does seem, and you know, where is it going to stop? You know, it's how much money do we need to, like you said, we're in debt. We're giving it away to other countries. When are we going to take care of ourselves? You know, when is the country going to start realizing, oh, we're in trouble now because we're now $36 trillion in debt, but oof, we're sending billions to other people.
Yeah, that's just the debt that we see. There's more in there that we're not talking about.
Yeah.
You know, like Social Security, Medicaid, all that stuff. So
absolutely.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. So we'll definitely have to have you back in the show just to talk about these type of things, because I want to have conversations where we could look at both sides.
Yeah.
Not just like, I'm like a conservative or I'm a liberal and this is the way it is, and like kind of pitching, you know,
right,
just one-sided type of policies, but at least getting people from both sides and having that conversation, right? I would like to have people that are probably here sitting down, not comfortable with guns, but at least showing up to have a conversation so we could dive deeper into these type of topics, because I think it was Martin Luther King that said you cannot influence the table that you're not sitting in.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody is not willing to sit in a table that they're uncomfortable with, then we're not going to be able to move forward as society.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Very
so, true. Yeah. So Nick, thank you so much for coming on.
Absolutely.
How can people connect with you, follow you? Maybe they want to connect with you or just get some advice from you, whatever.
Absolutely.
The case.
Well, my, you know, Nicholas, common spelling, Westfall, Westfall. I'm on Facebook. Open to any messages about, you know, the bodybuilding or supplements or anything like that. That's just my forte right now.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I have a TikTok. You just Google my name and it'll come up on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on Instagram as well because I connect, but I'm not on Instagram very much.
Okay.
Those are just really the three platforms I use right
now. Oh, perfect. Awesome. Awesome. So reach out to them. If you have any questions, you want to connect with them, whether that's like bodybuilding or maybe they want to connect with you because maybe it's a police officer that wants to connect because they were touched, they were moved by your story as well.
Absolutely.
And they just want a brother to connect with. Is that okay for people to reach out because of that?
Absolutely.
Yes. Awesome. Awesome. With that being said, guys, if you guys got value from this conversation, hit a like, subscribe, share with somebody that could benefit from this type of conversation. If you want to be a guest in the show, reach out to me as well. And remember, we got to continue to have crucial conversations so we could just move forward and as a society, okay?
Yeah.
With that being said, keep fighting the good fight. Stay in prayer. Stay dangerous. We're out. So let's have a conversation about something that's very sensitive right now. Immigration, illegal immigration, invasion, right? Man, there's a lot going on. And we have seen an influx of people crossing the border, right? And it looks like it's not just Mexicans crossing the border, but countries from South America. And we've seen a lot of people from the Middle East, from China and other countries from the Middle East crossing the border. For a person like yourself, right? Born in America, advocate of the Second Amendment, ex-law enforcement. Are you against immigration or are you against illegal immigration?
Illegal immigration.
Okay.
Definitely. I mean, if you come through the ports of authority and you do the process and you get here legally, fine. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, it's been done that way for decades, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years.
Yeah.
So illegals is an issue. A lot of the illegals that are coming straight from the border, which we are a border state here in Texas, are not the most kindest people.
Mm-hmm.
And they've come to find out a lot of them have multiple felonies.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them have been here, gone back and come back again, and committed horrendous crimes.
Mm-hmm.
And they're bringing their buddies with them.
Mm-hmm.
Like you just said, they're not just from Mexico. They're from Cuba, Haitian, South America, Middle East. They're from everywhere. And a lot of times we don't know what is it within these groups. You could have, well, I think they said there was like almost 15,000 coming across the border every day.
Mm-hmm.
Out of that 15,000, do you think every single one of them is a saint?
Hmm.
No, I don't think so at all. And they're saying women and children. Yes, I understand that. People are seeking a better life. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
There is a way to do it. I understand some, you know, very poor people are doing it to give here, to make a better life.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the criminals that are coming across. And how to stop that is just... well, we just got to shut it down.
Mm.
And does it sound inhumane? I don't know, is it inhumane for all these criminals come across the border and rape little kids, which has happened, or kill people, which is happening. So they're committing very, very violent crimes, and you know, the border is just wide open for more. And we don't know what type of the people these are. I mean, some of them could be a bomb expert, and then next thing you know, we have a couple large bombs coming up, going off in the United States. Who knows?
Yeah. So you're saying that you won't just allow anyone to come to your house, meaning there's, let's say, 20 people out there, and they all want to come inside. They want to spend the night.
Nope.
Right?
Not in my house.
None of your house?
Nope.
Why is that?
Because my family's number one.
Okay.
My family's number one.
So you want to, before you invite people in, you want to vet them. You want to get to know them. You want to know who they are and their background, I'm assuming. Right? So for a person that's watching that is for, let's say, illegal immigration, right? Because that's different than going crossing or coming through the right entry, right?
Right.
And somebody doesn't agree with you because they're for helping those in need, which I understand, right? But you're saying you're more concerned about the safety aspect of it, right?
Yes.
So there's people crossing because they do want a better life.
Right.
They do want to work, right? They want to contribute to our society, America, right? It's the dream, right? It's where people come and they just, they come here for a better life.
Yes.
But there's people that are probably coming in with bad intentions.
Very much.
Whether that's to commit crime, or that's to do something to society that is going to create havoc. But then there's other people that might be crossing over from countries. I'm going to start naming a few, maybe a Russia, maybe a China, maybe some country in the Middle East that are against America, right? From your opinion, why would the government allow people like that to come in?
Honestly, I don't know what the government's even thinking these days. I mean, we say the allowing them all to come in, I believe, which a lot of my colleagues also believe, they want them to come here to get votes for one certain party. You know, that's obviously election fraud. You can't do that. But that's being, that's getting, you know, we're election year, so that's, you know, everybody's going to have all their opinions about that and everything else too. It's just a dangerous situation to allow this mass numbers to come in so much, so fast. Eagle Pass, I mean, I was watching videos because we're here in Texas. You know, it was tens of thousands, and they couldn't stop them because it was an open border. You know, Abbott put up the barbed wire now, and, you know, he's being called a lot of different things because he's securing our state. But now nobody's coming across in that area. They're coming across in other areas, but not as the mass numbers from Eagle Pass. But it's just a very dangerous situation. I think a lot of it has to do with politics, possibly. You know, because like you said, it's election year. You know, in hindsight of that, they just enacted the SAFE Act. It hasn't passed through the Senate yet. And I don't know if you know what that is. It was actually Wednesday, I believe, they passed, they introduced it. It's for voting. You have to now provide a document that you are U.S. citizen to vote. Before you didn't. So
that's crazy. I mean, I believe Mexico does that too. So why wouldn't the U.S. have that in place?
Why didn't we do it for so many decades?
Since the beginning, right? That's kind of weird.
But yeah, that's being pushed through now. Obviously, the Democrats are fighting it. Don't know why. It shouldn't even be a question, like you just said. Other countries do it.
I mean, Mexico does it.
The
U.S. doesn't. The greatest country of all time, in my opinion.
But, right next door. But yeah, it's I think a lot of the influx of a lot of the illegals was for votes.
So what is the biggest threat? Is it voter fraud, from your opinion, or is it an invasion from like other countries coming in and trying to overthrow our country?
A little bit of both. You know, that definitely feels like an invasion. even news, some news medias have called this an invasion. Mm-hmm. Ted Cruz, our here in Texas, Senator, mm-hmm. he straight up said, this is election interference and invasion. Hmm. 100%. And he calls out the administration all the time on their inability to follow the law and protect the country.
Hmm.
You know, because allowing illegal immigrants to come across, you mm-hmm. know, the way they are is right. all on the president.
Hmm. So what you're saying is that Senator like Ted Cruz, right, that it's very conservative, right? He's saying invasion. Is he using those words just to get attention, or is he seeing it like an invasion? That's what he's calling
it. He's saying it like invasion, yeah, because the amounts that are coming through are record highs that have never been. I mean, past our, you know, our lifetime, since we were little, you know, everybody's come across the border. It's right. it's been, you know, I believe the Department of Defense allowed a certain amount every year, mm-hmm. but we've been exceeded that number by millions.
Yeah,
already, and it's been all because of what's happening in 2024.
Ah,
you know,
and I did see that there was like different policies put in place, whether that's like a Trump in office or a Biden. Like, seems like immigrants respond, or I'm gonna say illegal immigrant people respond different depending on who's in office.
Yes.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I would say so
too. Why is that?
You know, like I said, I think it's election fraud or election
interference
mm. in a way, because New York City, all the ones that went up to New York City, they're all getting hotel rooms. They're getting cards with money on it.
Hmm.
And it's all from the Democratic Party.
Hmm.
They put money towards the, and New York City is a Democratic city.
Hmm.
Democratic city. You know, I don't want to say, you know, Republicans are right, Democrats are right. I don't want them to fight each other, you know, no. but it is, I believe one party has forced that.
Hmm.
Back in the 80s, we didn't see the Democrats and the Republicans fight like this.
Right.
It was very cordial
mm-hmm.
elections. I mean, there was still debates and everything else, right. but now they are just blatantly outright fighting each other.
Mm.
And we're being, honestly, we're being laughed at by other countries about mm. how unstable we are, how weak we are.
Yeah, of course.
You know, our inflation's through the roof. Mm-hmm. People were starving, you know. It's just a very, I never thought I'd see in my lifetime this kind of uproar and, you know, this just the country going to being destroyed in a mm. way.
Mm. Is that by design? Is somebody planning that? Or is it just kind of like, we're so divided that we're just
so the, not making the ways decisions. To destroy a country is to destroy their financials. There's three different ways to destroy a country. I can't remember what the other two were, but man, already doing it. Destroying our financial stability. We mm-hmm. are sending money to everybody else, but not using it on our own.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, financials. Take away the fundamental of what a family is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mom, dad, family unit.
Eventually, the overall structure of the country just crumbles.
Yeah, and why is it that we're sending billions? And I'm not going to just talk about Ukraine here,
because
mm-hmm. obviously cool. that one's the one that we're sending a lot of money to, right?
Mm-hmm.
This past 12, 24 months. But we're sending hundreds of billions, right, to other countries.
Yeah.
To whether that's securing their border, for aid, for different things. Things that might be a good thing, right?
Yeah.
But it seems like there's really no like urgency to secure our border. Right. I mean, I know Trump was very controversial when he came to office.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to build the wall, right? And there's a lot of people going against him because of that. He was talking about maybe $3 billion putting into the border to secure our southern border.
Right.
But there was always like this fight with the left and the right about, you know, things being inhumane or not being the right approach, or you know, just plainly just fighting Trump and his administration at the time, because that seemed like it was racist.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of interesting that we as a country haven't prioritized securing our border. I thought, you know, for a country of this magnitude, right, this big influence in the world stage, that we would at least put more resources into our vets, police, safety, healthcare, whatever the case, right?
Healthcare, yeah.
More focus internally, opposed to focus on
everybody else.
It's almost like, let's say I was, I made $50,000 a year, but my budget was like $300,000, right? And $50,000 I'm taking, and I'm taking care of some needs in the house, but I'm getting into debt to pay for other countries, right? Countries or other people that are in need, but my family is not taken care of. They don't have food, they don't have clothes, right? But yet I'm focused on other countries or other families per se, just to give you an illustration. That's pretty much what it seems like the U.S. is doing, right?
It does. It really does seem. And that's, you know, where is it going to stop? You know, it's how much money do we need to, like you said, we're in debt. We're giving it away to other countries. When are we going to take care of ourselves? You know, when is the country going to start realizing, oh, we're in trouble now because we're now $36 trillion in debt, but we're sending billions to other people.
Yeah, that's just the debt that we see. There's more.
Oh yeah,
in there that we're not talking about.
Yeah,
you know, like Social Security, Medicaid, all that stuff. So
absolutely.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. So we definitely have to have you back in the show just to talk about these type of things, because I want to have conversations where we could look at both sides.
Yeah.
Not just like I'm like a conservative or I'm a liberal and this is the way it is, and like kind of pitching, you know,
right?
Just one-sided type of policies, but at least getting people from both sides and having that conversation, right? I would like to have people that are probably here sitting down, not comfortable with guns, but at least showing up to have a conversation so we could dive deeper into these type of topics, because I think it was Martin Luther King that said, you cannot influence the table that you're not sitting in. So if somebody is not willing to sit in a table that they're uncomfortable with, then we're not going to be able to move forward as society.
Yeah, very true.
So, yeah. So, Nick, thank you so much for coming on.
Absolutely.
How can people connect with you, follow you? Maybe they want to connect with you or just get some advice from you, whatever the case.
Absolutely. Well, my, you know, Nicholas, common spelling, Westfall, Westfall. I'm on Facebook. Open to any messages about, you know, the bodybuilding or supplements or anything like that. That's just my forte right now. Also, I have a TikTok. You just Google my name and it'll come up on TikTok. I'm on Instagram as well because I connect, but I'm not on Instagram very much.
Okay.
Those are just really the three platforms I use right
now. Oh, perfect. Awesome. Awesome. So reach out to them. If you have any questions, you want to connect with them, or that's like bodybuilding, or maybe they want to connect with you because maybe it's a police officer that wants to connect because they were touched, they were moved by your story as well.
Absolutely.
And they just want a brother to connect with. Is that okay for people to reach out because of that?
Absolutely.
Awesome. Yes. Awesome. With that being said, guys, if you guys got value from this conversation, hit a like, subscribe, share with somebody that could benefit from this type of conversation. If you want to be a guest in the show, reach out to me as well. And remember, we got to continue to have crucial conversations so we could just move forward and as a society, okay? With that being said, keep fighting the good fight. Stay in prayer. Stay dangerous. We're out. Well, let's have a conversation about something that's very sensitive right now. Immigration. Illegal immigration. Invasion, right? Man, there's a lot going on. And we have seen an influx of people crossing the border, right? And it looks like it's not just Mexicans crossing the border, but countries from South America. And we've seen a lot of people from the Middle East, from China and other countries from the Middle East crossing the border. For a person like yourself, right, born in America, advocate of the Second Amendment, ex-law enforcement, are you against immigration or are you against illegal immigration?
Illegal immigration.
Okay.
definitely. I mean, if you come through the ports of authority and you do the process and you get here legally, fine, perfect. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, it's been done that way for decades, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years.
Yeah.
So illegals is an issue. A lot of the illegals that are coming straight from the border, which we are a border state here in Texas, are not the most kindest people. Mm-hmm. And they're come to find out a lot of them have multiple felonies. Mm-hmm. A lot of them have been here, gone back and come back mm-hmm. again, and committed horrendous crimes. Mm-hmm. And they're bringing their buddies with them. Mm-hmm. Like you just said, they're not just from Mexico. They're from Cuba, Haitian, South America, mm-hmm. Middle East. They're mm-hmm. from everywhere. And a lot of times we don't know what is it within these groups. You could have, well, I think they said there was like almost 15,000 coming across the border every day. Mm-hmm. Out of that 15,000, do you think every single one of them is a saint?
Hmm.
No, I don't think so at all. And they're saying women and children. Yes, I understand that. People are seeking a better life. I understand that. Mm-hmm. But there is a way to do it. I understand some, you know, very poor people are doing it to get here, to make a better life.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the criminals that are coming across. And how to stop that is just, well, we just got to shut it down.
Mm.
And does it sound inhumane? I don't know. Is it inhumane for all these criminals come across the border and rape little kids, which has happened,
mm-hmm.
or kill people, which is happening? Mm-hmm. So they're committing very, very violent crimes, and you know the border is just wide open for more.
Mm.
And we don't know what type of the people these are.
Mm.
I mean, some of them could be a bomb expert, and then next thing you know, we have a couple large bombs going off in the United States.
Mm.
Who knows?
Yeah. So you're saying that you won't just allow anyone to come to your house, meaning there's, let's say, 20 people out there,
mm-hmm.
and they all want to come inside. They want to spend the night.
Nope.
Right?
Not in my house.
Not in your house?
Nope.
Why is that?
Because my family's number one.
Okay.
My family's number one.
Mm-hmm. So you want to, before you invite people in, you want to vet them. You want to get to know them. You want to know who they are and yes. their background, I'm assuming.
Right? Mm-hmm.
So for a person that's watching that is for, let's say, illegal immigration, right? Because that's different than going crossing or coming through the right entry, right?
Right.
And somebody doesn't agree with you because they're for helping those in need, which I understand, right? But you're saying you're more concerned about the safety aspect of it, right?
Yes.
So there's people crossing because they do want a better life.
Right.
They do want to work, right? They want to contribute to our society. America, right? It's the dream, right? It's where people come and they just, they come here for a better life.
Yes.
But there's people that are probably coming in with bad intentions.
Very much.
Whether that's to commit crime, mm-hmm. or that's to do something to society that is going to create havoc. But then there's other people that might be crossing over from countries. I'm going to start naming a few. Maybe a Russia, maybe a China,
yeah.
maybe some country in the Middle East that are against America,
yes.
right? From your opinion, why would the government allow people like that to come in?
Honestly, I don't know what the government's even thinking these days. I mean, we say the allowing them all to come in, I believe, which a lot of my colleagues also believe, they want them to come here to get votes for one certain party. You know, that's obviously election fraud. You can't do that. But that's being, that's getting, you know, we're election year, so that's, you know, everybody's going to have all their opinions about that and everything else too. Mm-hmm. But it's just a dangerous situation to allow this mass numbers to come in so much, so fast. Eagle Pass, I mean, I was watching videos because we're here in Texas,
mm-hmm.
you know, it was tens of thousands and they couldn't stop them.
Hmm.
Because it was an open border.
Yeah.
You know, Abbott put up the barbed wire now, and, you know, he's being called a lot of different things because he's securing our state.
Mm-hmm.
But now nobody's coming across
hmm.
In that area. they're coming across in other areas, but not as the mass numbers from Eagle Pass.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a very dangerous situation. I think a lot of it has to do with politics, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because like you said, it's election year.
Yeah.
You know, in hindsight of that, they just enacted the SAFE Act. It hasn't passed through the Senate yet. And I don't know if you know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually Wednesday, I believe, they introduced it.
Mm-hmm.
It's for voting. Mm-hmm. You have to now provide a document that you are U.S. citizen to vote.
Mm-hmm.
Before you didn't.
Hmm.
So
that's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, I believe Mexico does that too. So why wouldn't the U.S.
Why wouldn't
already have that in place?
Why didn't we do it for so many decades?
Since the beginning, yeah, right? That's kind of weird.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's being pushed through now. Obviously, the Democrats are fighting it.
Mm.
Don't know why. It shouldn't even be a question, like you just said.
Yeah.
Other countries do it.
Yeah. I mean, Mexico does it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The U.S. doesn't. The greatest country of all time, my opinion.
Yeah. But, right next door. I think a lot of the influx of a lot of the illegals was for votes.
So what is the biggest threat? Is it voter fraud, from your opinion? Or is it an invasion from like other countries coming in and trying to overthrow our country?
A little bit of both. You know, that definitely feels like an invasion. Even some news medias have called this an invasion.
Mm-hmm.
Ted Cruz, our here in Texas,
Senator, mm-hmm.
he straight up said, this is election interference and invasion. 100%. And he calls out the administration all the time on their inability to follow the law and protect the country.
Hmm.
You know, because allowing illegal immigrants to come across, you mm-hmm. know, the way they are is right. all on the president.
Hmm. So what you're saying is that Senator like Ted Cruz, right, that it's very conservative, right? He's saying invasion. Is he using those words just to get attention, or is he seeing it like an invasion? That's what he's calling
it. He's saying it like invasion, yeah, because the amounts that are coming through are record highs that have never been. I mean, past our, you know, our lifetime, since we were little, you know, everybody's come across the border. It's right. It's been, you know, I believe the Department of Defense allowed a certain amount every year,
mm-hmm.
but we've been exceeded that number by millions.
Yeah,
already, and it's been all because of what's happening in 2024.
Ah,
you know,
and I did see that there was like different policies put in place, whether that's like a Trump in office or a Biden. Like, seems like immigrants respond, or I'm gonna say legal immigrant people respond different depending on who's in office.
Yes.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I would say so too.
Why is that?
You know, like I said, I think it's election fraud or election
interference.
Interference in a way, because New York City, all the ones that went up to New York City, they're all getting hotel rooms, they're getting cards with money on it, and it's all from the Democratic Party.
Hmm.
They put money towards the, and New York City is a Democratic city. Democratic state. You know, I don't want to say, you know, Republicans are right, Democrats are right. I don't want them to fight each other, you know, yeah. but it is, I believe one party has forced that. Back in the 80s, we didn't see the Democrats and the Republicans fight like this.
Right.
It was very cordial
mm-hmm.
elections. I mean, there was still debates and everything else, right. but now they are just blatantly outright fighting each other. And we're being, honestly, we're being laughed at by other countries about how unstable we are, how weak we are.
Yeah, of course.
You know, our inflation's through the roof. Mm-hmm. People were starving. You know, it's just a very, I never thought I'd see in my lifetime this kind of uproar and, you know, this just the country going to being destroyed in a way.
Is that by design? Is somebody planning that, or is it just kind of like we're so divided that we're just
so the not making ways good to destroy a country is to destroy their financials. There's three different ways to destroy a country. I can't remember what the other two were, but man, already doing it, destroying our financial stability. We are sending money to everybody else, but not using it on our own.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, financials, you take away the fundamental of what a family is, right? Mm-hmm. Mom, dad, family unit.
Eventually, the overall structure of the country just crumbles.
Yeah. And why is it that we're sending billions? And I'm not going to just talk about Ukraine here. Because obviously that one's the one that we're sending a lot of money to, right?
Mm-hmm.
This past 12, 24 months. But we're sending hundreds of billions, right, to other countries.
Yeah.
To whether that's securing their border, for aid, for different things. Things that might be a good thing, right?
Yeah.
But it seems like there's really no urgency to secure our border. Right. I mean, I know Trump was very controversial when he came to office.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to build the wall, right? And there's a lot of people going against him because of that. He was talking about maybe $3 billion putting into the border to secure our southern border.
Right.
But there was always this fight with the left and the right about, things being inhumane or not being the right approach, or just plainly just fighting Trump and his administration at the time, because that seemed like it was racist.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of interesting that we as a country haven't prioritized securing our border. I thought, for a country of this magnitude, right, this
mm-hmm.
big influence in the world stage, that we would at least put more resources into our vets.
Yes.
Police. Safety, healthcare, whatever the case, right?
Healthcare, yeah.
More focus internally,
mm-hmm.
opposed to focus on
everybody else.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like, let's say I made $50,000 a year,
mm-hmm.
but my budget was $300,000, right? And $50,000 I'm taking, and I'm taking care of some needs in the house. But I'm getting into debt
mm-hmm.
to pay for other countries, right? Other yeah. countries or other people that are in need. But my family is not taken care of. They don't have food. They don't have clothes, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yet I'm focused on other countries or other families, per se, just to give you an illustration. That's pretty much what it seems like the U.S. is doing, right?
It does. It really
weird.
Does. Seem, and
that's
you know,
weird.
Where is it going to stop?
Hmm.
It's how much money do we need to... Like you said, we're in debt. We're giving it away to uh-huh. other countries. When are we going to take care of ourselves? when is the country going to start realizing, oh, we're in trouble now because we're now $36 trillion in debt, but Oof. We're sending billions to other people.
Yeah, that's just the debt that we see. There's
yeah.
more
oh, yeah.
In there that we're not talking about.
Yeah.
Social Security, Medicaid, all that stuff. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. So we'll definitely have to have you back in the show just to talk about these type of things, because I want to have conversations where we could look at both sides.
Yeah.
Not just I'm a conservative or I'm a liberal and this is the way it is, and kind of pitching,
right.
Just one-sided type of policies, but at least getting people from both sides and having that conversation, right? I would like to have people that are probably here sitting down, not comfortable with guns, but at least showing up to have a conversation so we could dive deeper into these yeah. type of topics, because I think it was Martin Luther King that said you cannot influence the table that you're not sitting in.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody is not willing to sit in a table that they're uncomfortable with, then we're not going to be able to move forward as society.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Very true.
So, yeah. So, Nick, thank you so much for coming on.
Absolutely.
How can people connect with you, follow you, maybe wants to connect with you or
yeah.
just get some advice from me, whatever
Absolutely.
The case?
Absolutely. Well, Nicholas, common spelling, Westfall, WESTFALL. I'm on Facebook. I'm open to any messages about, the bodybuilding or supplements or anything mm-hmm. like that. That's just my forte right now.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I have a TikTok. You just Google my name and it'll come up on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on Instagram as well because mm-hmm. I connect, but I'm not on Instagram very much.
Okay.
Those are just really the three platforms I use right
now.
Oh,
perfect. Awesome. Awesome. So reach out to them. If you have any questions, you want to connect with them, whether that's like bodybuilding, or maybe they want to connect with you because maybe it's a police officer that wants to connect because they were touched, they were moved by your story as well.
Absolutely.
And they just want a brother to connect with. Is that okay for people to reach out because of that?
Absolutely.
Yes. Awesome. Awesome. With that being said, guys, if you guys got value from this conversation, hit a like, subscribe, share with somebody that could benefit from this type of conversation. If you want to be a guest in the show, reach out to me as well. And remember, we got to continue to have crucial conversations so we could just move forward in, as a society, okay? With that being said, keep fighting the good fight. Stay in prayer. Stay dangerous. We're out. That Rodriguez show. Yeah, that Rodriguez show. Yeah.